The scripture reading from Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. And beloved, let's pray to the Lord and ask for His help now. Father, we're thankful for Your Word, sharper than any two-edged sword, that even pierces to the division of soul and spirit. We're thankful that You breathe out Your Word unto us to teach us, to reprove us, to correct us, and to train us in righteousness, that we might be equipped for every good work to You, for Your glory. And so we ask for Your help now, that we would believe the gospel, that miracles, the miracles of Jesus, would confirm unto us the truth that He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, sent from You, He who is the Son of Man and the Son of God. And Him we owe all our worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts 9, verse 32, these are the words of our God. Now as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." Immediately he got up. And all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with him. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed many days in Joppa, with a tanner named Simon. And that is God's Word. Christians, if we remember from our week off from Acts, Christians were being persecuted, were suffering. The Gospels begin spreading to the ends of the earth. Saul had been persecuting Christians, but has been converted in an extraordinary way. And he's joined himself to the Church of Jesus Christ. He's begun preaching the Gospel of Jesus Christ wherever he was, wherever he was going, that Jesus is the Son of God. And he's caused many to seek, now because Paul's been preaching, he's caused many others to seek his life, as he once sought theirs, or sought others' lives. But now, and for some approximate 10 years, we won't see of him or hear of him. Now our attention is focused on Peter, for a time. And that is Simon Peter, one of the 12 disciples, an apostle. We should know him well. The one who denied Jesus 3 times. And now has preached boldly in the face of great persecution, who no longer denies Jesus. Peter is going throughout the area of Jerusalem, so he's pretty near, even in this section of Scripture, he's pretty near Jerusalem. He's been preaching the good news about the coming of the kingdom, how it has come. And Peter is traveling here, in the towns described here, to the west northwest of Jerusalem towards the Mediterranean Sea. So it's in between Jerusalem and the Mediterranean Sea. And he's on his way to Joppa, verse 36. But first, about 20 to 25 miles from Jerusalem, he came to Lydda. Another 10 miles or so on the coast of the Mediterranean, he is in Joppa, which is right on the sea. Verse 32, it says, Now as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. It can be a curious thing that Luke says there, to the saints. It's not one that he uses that often. Usually he calls the children of God the disciples, or a few times he will call them Christians, but that term hasn't been made yet. That term will actually be a term more or less of abuse that people of the way will receive from their persecutors in chapter 11. But here they're called saints. They're called holy ones. Saints, the same word that's used of sanctified, holy, to be set apart. Literally, he's calling them those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And usually when we talk about sanctification, we speak of what is called a theological term, progressive sanctification. That which we are being continually cleansed of our remaining sin as Christians. But those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ are holy ones, saints, as he's talking about here, that sanctification is what we often in the theological world call declared sanctification or declarative sanctification. You're declared to be sanctified. That is, in Christ Jesus, we are so guaranteed that at the end we will be sanctified and cleansed of all sin, that now we can be said to be sanctified. That's how guaranteed our sanctification as Christians is. And so you Christians have been set apart for God. You are, if you believe, you are saints. Christians are known here because of their holiness. They're known because of their likeness to Jesus Christ. They were different from the world. That which the Lord's Supper or baptism declares of those who have faith. They are separate from the world, not the same. And they love the body of Christ and they testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter's doing here. He's testifying and bringing glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And so the first point this evening is, as we look at the title of the sermon, Miracles Confirming the Word, the first point this evening is healing the paralytic. Healing the paralytic, verse 33. There, in Lydda, he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. In Lydda, Peter found a man who's been sick for 8 years. He's paralyzed. And his name is Aeneas. It's somewhat astonishing what we find in verse 34. Peter comes up to him and says to him, without any preliminary conversation by either person, Aeneas or Peter. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. Immediately he got up. And the Lord works a miracle through Peter. Peter did nothing physical to make this happen. It's simply a word. Where did the word come from? It came from Jesus Christ. We're immediately being pointed to the Lord, the Creator of all things, by the word of His power to our Lord Jesus Christ, who healed people in the same way as is being shown here, by a word. This is the work, not of Peter, but of the sovereign power of God. Don't you remember Mark 2, the man who was paralyzed there, he was let down through the roof in Peter's house, in fact. Where a crowd had gathered and they couldn't get in any other way to Jesus, believing that He could heal this man. And that was in Capernaum where Jesus was. And Jesus forgives the man's sins. Remember that? And He knew the thoughts of those who were thinking that He was blasphemous, saying that He could forgive sins. Mark 2 says, And many gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching, Jesus was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And notice that they were thinking this in their hearts, not saying it with their words. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'?" And of course, he implies there that it's easier to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," because it's a very difficult thing to say your sins are forgiven. Only God can do that. And only God can do that through the sacrifice of His Son. And it goes on, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." Peter, in this passage, he did not say his sins were forgiven. He has no authority to do so. Only God does. And that's why the Pharisees thought Jesus was uttering blasphemies, because he was claiming to forgive, claiming to be God. In fact, he was God, but they did not believe that. Peter, though, is not God. And so he has no authority to forgive sins, despite what Roman Catholics may think about their so-called first pope, who is not the first pope. Peter is not Jesus. He's Jesus' representative. He is the sent one. He is an apostle, been sent by Jesus. He's pointing us to Jesus to give glory to Jesus. So Peter says, "Get up and make your bed." Why? Jesus Christ heals you. And so verse 35, we're to assume that the man was converted and believed the gospel. And it says, "All who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord." How did they turn to the Lord? Someone had to come with the message of the gospel prior. Christians who had been scattered throughout the region because of the great persecution in Jerusalem had come to Lydda and Sharon. And they had testified the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those seeds planted. And then they see this man who for 8 years was paralyzed, healed in Jesus' name and by an instrument of his, Peter. And they get it. This Jesus is truly God. This Jesus who died on the cross and rose from the dead that we've heard about, it's not been too long still since the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it says all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned, all of them, to the Lord. All of them. As this is all going on in Lydda, on the coast of the sea, some 10 miles away in Joppa, something else was happening. That's the second point this evening. Raising up the dead. Raising up the dead. The first point points us to Jesus Christ through exactly what He did by the word of His power. The second point especially does, if we did not remember the first of what Jesus did, surely we'll remember the second. He rose up Himself from the dead. He rose Lazarus from the dead. He rose others as well. Verse 36, we're introduced to a woman, a godly woman named Tabitha or Dorcas, who seems to be a Jew, because her name is Tabitha, and yet they said in Greek it's translated Dorcas. Philip has already traveled through that area. Remember, as he went to the south and met the Ethiopian eunuch, and then he went up the coast towards where Cornelius would be in the next section of Scripture, Caesarea. And so he's gone through Joppa already, and he's brought the gospel there. Other Christians who had been scattered because of the persecution in Jerusalem would have traveled there as well. And either way, this woman is already a disciple of Jesus Christ. Verse 36, we see that she has fruit. She has produced good fruit already before she's died, before she dies. Verse 36, it says, "Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha," which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. "This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did." And those deeds of kindness and charity were her making garments. Making garments for those in need. That is an example of a godly woman. One who makes blankets or garments. This woman was a very godly, abounding in deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. She didn't do some deeds and then take a break. She was always abounding in these things. Kindness and charity. What kinds of deeds was she doing? There were things done in behind the scenes in private. Kindness and charity. Our God knows that which you do in private, and He honors such people. And here this woman is honored for all eternity. Her name and what she did in the Scriptures. Verse 37, "And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. When they washed her body, they laid it in an upper room." She died. It's a fact. She is dead. It's not that she just is sick. It says she fell sick and died. They laid her body in the upper room of the home. They washed her body. And by this time her body was already cold from the effects of death. We know that doesn't take very long. The life had left her, and there are two men who are sent immediately to Lydda because they know Peter was there. Peter is the one who used to heal the paralytic. And so word, of course, as we heard from Lydda, even to Sharon, so Lydda to Joppa. Word had spread about the paralytic being healed. He can be used perhaps to heal Tabitha, Dorcas. Verse 38, "Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, 'Do not delay in coming to us.' So Peter arose and went with them." Now, as I already mentioned, there's only five times that someone is raised from the dead in the New Testament outside of Jesus Himself. Five times. Three of them are raised by Jesus Christ. The daughter of Jairus, the widow of Nain's son, and Lazarus. Paul later will be used to bring life back to Eutychus, who falls out of the window. You remember, it's kind of funny, during hearing the long sermon at midnight or through the night. And this occurrence here is the fifth or fourth occurrence. And so what happens, of course, is extraordinary. This doesn't happen often. Who would at this point expect Peter to be able to do anything when he's told this godly woman is dead? She'll be missed greatly. But there's a hint, of course, in the section of Scripture with even the two men imploring him that they believe that Peter could be used to raise up this woman. Otherwise, they wouldn't have called upon him. But Jesus Christ could raise her up from the dead. Faith they had. Believing that Jesus, through His apostle, the sent one, could do it. After all, Peter, we know, has been sent. That he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's been given the authority of Jesus Christ. And he and the other apostles have been performing signs and wonders that are very similar to what Jesus Himself performed. All pointing to Him. And three times Jesus raised up people from the dead. So why can't Peter, Jesus' servant, be used by Him to do the same? And so Peter, hearing the news, immediately rose up and he went with them back to Joppa. And what does he find? When he arrived, verse 39, "When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. The widows were there in the church, of the church of in Joppa. They were there serving. They were mourning and showing off the beauty that the Lord had created through Dorcas or Tabitha with these garments that she made. Presumably, those garments being made is even for these widows. And they're weeping and they're mourning, and Peter sends them out. He's there alone. And it says, but Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. Peter prayed to the Lord. You might ask, why did Peter pray to the Lord? Because he's completely dependent upon the Lord. He can do nothing of himself. He needs the Lord in all things, and so he prays. He asks the Lord to raise her up from the dead as the Lord Jesus had done himself. And so then he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Beloved, the Lord Jesus raises people up from the dead. And we are remembering how Jesus raised up Lazarus and others, and because he rose himself from the dead, what great hope we have. That though we die, yet shall we live. He'll raise us up from the dead. That's what's being taught here, being reminded to the saints there in Joppa and to us here today. He will raise us up from the dead, those who have faith in Christ, like this woman. Verse 41, and he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. The church is called in Joppa, and the saints and the widows came. Why? To remind them and us of the hope they have in Christ Jesus to be raised as he was raised. Verse 42, it became known all over Joppa. Many believed in the Lord, and Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon, it says. Many believed in the Lord because the word they heard by Philip, when he came through the region, and other Christians as they were spreading throughout the region because of the great persecution, perhaps even from Tabitha herself, this miracle convinced them of the truth of the gospel, that surely this gospel is true because this is what Jesus did. And this is what happened to Jesus. Surely this is true. This religion founded upon Jesus Christ has not died out as the Jews hoped it would. This is of heaven and not of men. And so they believe. And being raised through all of Joppa's region, it spread by mouth quickly, probably faster than the news of the healing of the paralytic spread. And Christians would have been hearing this and would have said to each other, this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus himself did. Himself, not only rising others up, but raising up himself. And they would have been saying to those of the Jewish, to the Jewish world, and the ones God was seeking, this is what Jesus did. And they would be bearing testimony, testifying the gospel. Don't you remember hearing about what he did in Matthew 9? While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And then it's interrupted by the healing of a woman who had a blood hemorrhage. If you remember that, just a few weeks ago, then comes back to the daughter. When Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away, for the girl's not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. And when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went throughout all that district. It's almost a one-for-one correspondence between Matthew 9 and Acts 9. Soon what had taken place, the message of the gospel would have spread throughout all the cities of Joppa. Joppa was on the coast, and so even all those seafaring men who would hear it, they would be spreading that word throughout all the Mediterranean Sea. the gospel, taking the gospel with them. This was the design of the miracles that are performed in the New Testament. To show that one was from God and to confirm divine revelation. To confirm the word spoken. And we see two miracles, two healings, two pointers to Jesus Christ our Lord and His own ministry. That's what these saints were pointing to. The Apostle Peter was pointing to, and what Saul, the last section, was pointing to. And they're constantly throughout the Scriptures pointing us to the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, because it is the plan of God that Jesus receive all glory. The Holy Spirit is present with us to move us to glorify Jesus, the Son. And so we must glorify Jesus, the Son. The passage before us leads to that which confirms that the Ethiopian eunuch was not just a fluke, a Gentile believing. You see, it became known all over Joppa. From there it made its way to nearby towns and cities. Right up the coast is Caesarea to the north. And that is where Philip had gone as he had traveled, it said, up the coast after that meeting of the eunuch. The gospel's already in Caesarea. For one thing, what happens in this passage is made known to a Gentile there, and his name is Cornelius. That's the next passage that we'll see. We know it's made known to Cornelius because he receives the message from the angel and does not bow down to the angel. An important fact to help us understand our passage. But when Peter comes to him in the next chapter and bows down and he worships Peter, he's corrected of that idolatry. But we must ask, why did he bow down to Peter and not an angel? We could understand an angel, even though it's still wrong. But why Peter, not the angel? Because Peter is the one who he knew raised up the woman from the dead. Surely then, this is God. And no, in fact, that's not true. But he was sent from God. He was pointing to Jesus who is God. And Peter teaches him the gospel more clearly, testifying of Jesus Christ. It's the miracle and wonder of raising up someone from the dead. And the gospel coming into the ears, he's heard the gospel. He fears God and wants this. And so he calls Peter to come. Why? Because again, it's Peter whom Jesus used to raise up Tabitha from the dead. And if that God can do that, then he wants that God as his God. That was known to Cornelius because of the angel, where he sends men to go and get Peter to come and speak with him. Beloved, the miracles and signs that we find in the time of the apostles confirmed the word of God that came into the people's ears. And it led to the salvation of many in Joppa and in all of Lydda and Sharon. So that the church would expand quickly and to the ends of the earth, just as Jesus promised in the Great Commission. And we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who testify today of Jesus Christ, that He might have all the glory and not we ourselves. Like Aeneas, like Tabitha, the people of Lydda and Sharon and Joppa, let us believe in confidence with full trust and submission to this gospel and our God, Jesus Christ, apart from which there is no life found. There is no life found apart from Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful to be reminded again and again and again of our God and our Creator, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, apart from whom there is no way of salvation, for He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. And so, Father, we ask that we would believe, having heard these miracles that had taken place, testified even in secular history. And of course, testified with more authority in the Scriptures. And we believe they happen. We believe that even Jesus Himself, who died on the cross, was raised up from the dead on the third day. That we too, in Him, just like Tabitha, would have life forever. That even though our bodies might die, when Christ returns, He will raise up our bodies from the grave and give us new glorified bodies. And we will worship Him forever and ever, to give glory to His name forever and ever. And now we're called to testify to a world which hates Jesus Christ, to a world who is in darkness. And You, the light of the world, have made us a light in the world, reflecting the mirror, as a mirror, Jesus Christ to this world. May we be godly mirrors and declare the word to them with great boldness and without fear, except fear of the Lord, a godly fear. And we would never deny Your Son. We pray in His name. Amen.